Roll down tide.
From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, this is the Beer Garden presented by Oxford Crystal.
I'd like to hear a little bit more conviction in your take, though. There was a lot of maybes, a lot of what ifs, a lot of questions. You need to just get on here. You need to fire and put me in a position where I have to tell you that you're wrong.
And now, here's your host, Neil McCready.
Nice. Nice.
Welcome into another edition of the Oxford Crystal Beer Garden. I am your host, Neil McCready. Today on the show, Neil Stratton of Inside the League joins us. We'll talk about just kind of wrapping up the NFL offseason. We'll look ahead somewhat to the NFL training camps that get started later this month. First, my apologies. It's been a little while since we loaded a beer garden for you. Things got a little busy on the Ole Miss beat, but we're back today with Neil Stratton. First, let me tell you about the Oxford Crystal. Right now, it's the Summer of Wonder at Crystal. Make your summer extra cool with a new chance to win a $100 Crystal gift card each week. It's easy to enter. Order a dessert or shake made with Oreo, post a pic with your cool treat, and then tag Crystal, Oreo, and hashtag Oreo Crystal Sweepstakes on your social media. That's Instagram or Twitter. Right now, you can do the Mix 5 for 5 at Crystal featuring the Spicy Chick. That includes the fries, hot dogs, spicy chick, the Crystal, a soda, ice cream, all of that. 5 for $5 at Crystal, and it's hot outside. You may have noticed hand-spun shakes. You can up $1 your combo by adding a shake at Oxford Crystal. And breakfast right now, the Chick Sunriser combo available in regular or spicy. We're coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio. Clark Ford's in Amory, 662-257-1900. Call that number. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for, and he will send you a quote within 15 minutes. Then it's up to you. You can take that quote, shop it around, or you can take our word for it and the word of so many of your fellow podcast listeners from Missouri to Biloxi, from Atlanta to Shreveport. And that is they'll let Corey and the people at Clark Ford take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience. That's at Clark Ford and Amory. And then at the end of the deal, tell Corey, hey, I heard about the dealership on the podcast. You can mention the Beer Garden. You can mention the Oxford Crystal podcast. Either one, $500 off the bottom line from Clark Ford in Amory. Podcast also brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. If you're a small business owner, you know Visa's rules recently changed, allowing owners to pass credit card processing costs onto their customer as a line item along with sales tax. Journey Business Solutions has a fully integrated solution to make that simple for business owners. You just swipe the card just like you do today, and you pay zero for credit card processing. Journey Business Solutions also has the latest and greatest technologies with Apple Pay, EMV chip processing, next day funding, and more. If you're ready for something more than the terminal, Ben Brown and team has a tablet point of sale system that does inventory, marketing, loyalty rewards, employee scheduling, and time cards. It makes your life easier. It normally costs $1,200, but you let Ben know you heard about this on the podcast and you get it at no cost and still save monthly versus what you are paying to process today. Journey Business Solutions can do business nationwide. They often work with merchants previously declined, and they can get you out of your contract. Send Ben an email at journeybizsolutions.com. The process is very easy, and he will get back with you right away to help you get started. The podcast brought to you by Strategic Partners in Media. It's a full-service advertising and public relations firm doing business throughout the country. SPM works with companies of all sizes, from Fortune 500 companies to local startups. The logic is simple. They find a way to tell a story about their client that captivates an audience that will eventually do business with the client. SPM focuses first and foremost on developing a winning and unique strategy for their clients, whether that is through creating and implementing an aggressive digital and social media plan, producing a captivating television advertisement, or crafting a corporate communications plan to get any business through good or bad times. SPM always finds the right path forward. SPM mastered their craft in the rough and tough political advertising world. They bring to the table decades of advertising experience and plus a unique perspective to advertising and a tireless work ethic rooted in their days of nonstop campaigns. To reach them, email austin@strategicpartnersmedia.com. Now let's go to the phones and Neil Stratton of Inside the League to talk some NFL. All right, Neil, appreciate you joining me here on the Beer Garden. As always, it's great to have you on. The NFL season is getting closer. It's not quite here yet. These are the dog days of summer, but appreciate you taking some time out for us.
It's always a pleasure. It's always a lot of fun, and I'm always flattered that you would ask me. So here we are, and away we go.
And away we go. So it's not uncommon for an underachieving team to fire a general manager. It happens. It has always happened. It will always happen. It is uncommon, at least to me, for it to happen in July. So the Carolina Panthers fire their GM, Gettleman. Why now?
Boy, Neil, I tell you, here's the thing. If you follow me on Twitter, if you read any of my blog posts, you know we talk a lot about scouts and the scouting business, and we talk to scouts and what have you. When John Dorsey was fired, I guess it was late last month or early this month, I don't know the exact date, followed by Dave Gettleman getting fired again within a month of camp starting, that's a shockwave, seismic thing. And you have there are a few things that these guys have in common. Number one, both no more as evaluators than what you might call cap guys or what have you. Number two, maybe not always the guys that say good morning back when you say good morning to them. You know, and number three, I think considered they're both playoff GMs. These are guys that you could argue were both top five GMs. There are some that might make the argument they were near the top. How these guys get dumped, to me, is a further devaluation of, to me, again, the talent evaluation side of the game and how much scouts and people who evaluate players for a living and try to get more right than they get wrong, how little value they're given. I mean, I don't see any reason at all why Gettleman gets dumped, especially at this point. This is crazy. Now, with Dorsey, maybe it had something to do with the contract. I think Dorsey, in his heart of hearts, wants to be the Packers GM when Ted Thompson retires. There's nothing there for Gettleman. I mean, there's no apparent reason why he would be let go. And what's more, there's no obvious line of succession. They had to bring back the guy they fired to step in for him. This makes no sense at all. I mean, it really befuddles a guy like me who follows the inner workings of the game, and I think I'm not alone.
And as we get closer to the season, camp's going to start. I know that guys don't go into camp saying, hey, man, what's up in the front office? But teams – look, the New England Patriots are the best example of this. Teams love stability. This isn't stable. So, and this is a really up-for-grabs division. The Falcons probably should be Super Bowl champs today. The Saints have one of the best quarterbacks in the league. Tampa Bay is up and coming. The Panthers are 2 years removed from a Super Bowl appearance. I mean, the division is anyone could finish first, anyone could finish last. Mm-hmm. This has to be it's not a positive for the Panthers, right?
Hey, look, if you're a Saints fan, you're excited about this. I mean, this is great news. It doesn't make a lot of sense. The question now becomes who's going to guide him through the draft in 2018, who's going to restock that offensive line, who's going to do the things that make that give Cam Newton a chance, who's going to find the receivers that are weapons. You know, there's just a number of questions. I mean, I know they addressed that in the draft some, but it's just, I don't know. I mean, you're really perplexed by something like this happening, and it's not obvious. You know, one other point, Neil. Everyone loves to talk about how Bill Belichick is gruff, and he makes the hard decisions, and he lets the guy go 1 year early rather than a year too late. And again, if you're a Saints fan, you've seen lots and lots of times when the Saints have let guys stay way too long past their expiration date. Gettleman's that guy who's willing to be the tough guy. I mean, he sent Josh Norman packing, D'Angelo Williams. I mean, there's a number of Steve Smith, obviously. You can go right down the line. These are what make you a winner, by not following your heart, by following your mind and making the tough decisions. They let a guy like this go who can also evaluate talent. I just, again, there's way more questions than there are answers.
Yeah, you just keep, I mean, frankly, you keep waiting for the follow-up news story that says he got caught
right
sleeping with a collection of Boy Scouts or something. I mean,
right.
It's odd. It's a stunning development. Again, if you're going to make that change, you make it after the season before you get into the whole draft process. Now if you're inside that organization, you work with, you spend this entire year sort of looking over your shoulder and thinking mm-hmm. about what do I do next, and mm-hmm. you're not going to be very focused, in my opinion.
And every one of your scouts who's on a 2-year deal is now thinking, who's going to come in? Am I going to have a job beyond this year? They may start looking around. I mean, everything about this just it gets you in a really awkward position.
People lose sight of the humanity in this. You're a scout on a 2-year deal, and now some of the time that you would have spent scouting, maybe you spend networking. You spend, this guy, I got a buddy in Green Bay. I got a buddy in Jacksonville. I've got a buddy in Cincinnati.
Anywhere.
I better check this out. It just takes just a little focus away. Speaking of focus, it looks like Ezekiel Elliott, the Cowboys, is going to, quote, get off on this latest thing. Not that I'm not accusing him of a crime, but things were up in the air for a little while. Yet, he doesn't seem to be the most focused guy in the world for a guy who had such a great rookie year. Mm-hmm. How much is this a distraction, or could it become a distraction for the Cowboys?
I think distractions tend to go away a little bit once the pads go back on and you're playing for keeps and you got to be focused on the preseason and what have you. I don't want to make too much of this. At the same time, here's a guy that can't seem to stay out of the police blotter, whether it be traffic violations, whether it be, whatever might have happened with a girlfriend or two. It's strange. And if I'm Jerry Jones, I've got a lot leveraged on two guys that have one NFL season under their belt. You've handed the backfield to, listen, by any account, two young players that had great seasons, but they don't have a record here, a long record of success. If I'm Jones, I'm nervous because these guys hold the keys to your season. Whether or not it's a distraction, we'll see. They benefit from the fact that they're not in New York or Chicago or L.A., but they are, of course, America's team, and that attracts a lot of media. So maybe there may be a little bit of taking the eye off the ball, at least for the next week. I think it's a benefit that this didn't happen 2 weeks from now. It happened now. But, to some degree, a lot of this stuff happens in the offseason. Players have a little bit of time on their hands. They're not always as attentive to the rules and maybe what they should be doing. I think to some degree this kind of takes care of itself, especially if Elliott, it turns out he doesn't get suspended. I think we're still kind of waiting on the facts to come out on some of the domestic abuse things, and obviously this is something the NFL very closely watches right now. But the most recent thing where he allegedly knocked some guy out, that looks like that's just going to kind of go by the boards.
A team that never has off-season trouble. Never. Never. Doesn't happen.
The New York Yankees of the NFL.
The New England Patriots never, ever have off-season trouble. They just
now,
they
you're
just
right
roll.
About that.
They just, they're like a bunch of robots up there. I mean, Aaron Hernandez happened, and I know that was a big deal. Yet, it didn't faze them much. They're the damnedest thing. So, going into this season, despite the fact that I'm an NBA guy, and every year people go, oh, the Spurs are on the downside. This is the year the Spurs fall off, and then the Spurs win 63 games. Are the Patriots the team to beat again?
Well, as long as Tom Brady's taking the snaps, they're in the conversation.
He plays his 70s? Is that where he – is he the first 70-year-old to quarterback
I don't
in the
see
league?
Him. I don't see him slowing down, Neil. Do you?
No,
I mean,
he looks in some ways better than he did 5 years ago.
As long as they can protect him, it's almost as if they can put anyone around him in the backfield, in the receiving core, and it doesn't really matter. I mean, I talk to scouts, and they trash the Patriots and how they draft. They laugh about the players they select and all these things. And to some degree, they're true. I mean, look at some of the players that they've had that they've drafted in the first few rounds that aren't with them anymore. But it doesn't matter. I mean, as long as Brady's there, they find a way to win. I hate to use that expression because that's such a cliche. But if you've got a quarterback, a good quarterback, I think you almost start at 8-8, and it's go from there. I mean, again, I hate to keep going back to the Saints, but here's a bad team with a historically bad defense. They're still finishing 7-9 every year because they've got a great quarterback. Tom Brady is obviously he's a great quarterback by any account.
Oh, he's the best and ever.
You think so?
Yeah, he's the best ever. He's the best ever. It's not even about numbers. It's about when he's on the field, you fear them. And frankly, when he's on the field, you win.
Let me ask you this, Neil. 15 years ago, who's your best quarterback all time?
15 years ago. So that would be 2002. I would probably be talking about Joe Montana.
Okay, now done. Stop there, all right? Are you overvaluing the one position over the other 21? I'm not saying that's right or wrong.
Yes.
I'm just asking.
Yes. I do think that unlike in – it's like having the – and when I say dominant starting pitcher, I mean Clayton Kershaw.
Yeah.
On your team. It's a game changer, man. When you have Kershaw, you have a guy that you're not going to go on extended losing streaks.
Yeah.
Teams are going to fear him. Teams are going to change the way that they approach a series based on when is he pitching. He's in your head. I think Brady's in your head more than any quarterback, with the possible exception of Peyton Manning over the last two decades.
I think obviously a quarterback is incredibly essential to the success of an NFL team, but I stopped short of drawing that parallel. I think
really?
That Howard, that is, I think that's become the paradigm in the NFL, especially in the media, that the quarterback, to me, the record of wins by a quarterback, that's a fundamentally flawed stat. There's so much more to the game than just one position. I don't discount the fact that it's incredibly important and you have to have a great one to win, but it's not the same bright line as a pitcher is in baseball.
Okay, let's do it this way. Let's change absolutely nothing in the Patriots organization, their teams, their history, nothing. Except somebody besides Brady gets to go be the quarterback. Would they have the same success?
Well, again, if that's someone besides Brady is Drew Brees, I think you could argue that they would.
Okay.
If that's someone is Joe Flacco, then definitely not.
How many quarterbacks in the league are in Brady's atmosphere?
Four.
Who?
I mean, off the top. Oh gosh.
Rodgers, Brees.
Rodgers, Brees. Oh boy. Those are the quick ones.
Well, then that's your answer. Because if you have to start thinking about it, then they're not in the ballpark.
I guess you're right. I mean, it's hard for me to argue that Brady is number one all time. I'm not trying to pick fights here.
We're gonna effing fight about this, man. This is important stuff. We live in a country where, I mean, health, there are questions about health care right now. There are major questions about immigration. There's major questions about education. But nothing's as important as who is the damn GOAT of NFL quarterbacks, and we're not going to stop until we get this damn thing resolved, Neil.
On second thought, you're right. I'm going to meet you up behind the school bus this later.
Yeah, we're going to fight to the damn death.
you're right. Listen, I don't know. I mean, it's just something that's bugged me because I think there's an amount of gross simplification of the game in the media, and that just it claws at me, it grinds at me sometimes, and that makes me crazy. With that said, I probably would have to go with Brady as well. I mean, look at the record of success, look at the championships, look at the you know, I mean,
it's the focus, it's the work ethic, it's the attitude.
There's a lot. You're
right. So much there that, and I catch myself cheering against him most times, but then sometimes, like in that Super Bowl,
yeah,
I was like, man, I'm kind of for this dude.
Well, I mean, wow, yeah. It's amazing how a guy spent most of the first half on his back, and the second half he still comes back and wins it.
And you know, and never doubted. You could tell in his, the way he just plays, he just doesn't doubt. He just, he's a machine.
And the other question, and it's a question I always ask of the Saints as well, if Tom Brady got hit by a bus in his the second year of his career or whatever, will we be talking about Bill Belichick as the one of the greatest coaches of all time?
No.
If Drew Brees signs with the Dolphins, are we talking about Sean Payton as one of the as an offensive genius?
No, because if Drew Brees signs with the Dolphins, Nick Saban is still the coach of the Dolphins.
That's true. Exactly.
The Saints are in San Antonio.
Probably.
New Orleans is not the revitalized city that in some ways it is today.
You can make those arguments.
Oh, I'm not only am I gonna make those arguments, I'm right.
Yeah. Maybe so.
And Alabama right. football is not the dominant national power that it is today.
Alabama's Tennessee.
Yeah. Alabama's just another program.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You're right. Isn't it funny how the dominoes fall?
All because the doctors in Miami said, I'm not sure about the shoulder.
Exactly. Exactly. It's really funny.
All right. You mentioned New Orleans. Let's go there. We've established, and I agree with you completely, that before we fight to the death, we'll shake hands and go, yeah, Breeze is really good. We won't fight about that. They've got Drew Brees. They score points. They've defensively been awful, just awful. So they add Adrian Peterson. They shook it up a little on defense. Is Peterson going to be a factor in New Orleans? And are the Saints just defensively, are they good enough to get over 8-8?
You know, Before I'll directly address AP, I have to maybe rhetorically ask the question, how many offensive weapons is enough when you have no pass rush to speak of? I'm a big believer that everything on defense starts with a pass rush. If you give any quarterback 4 seconds, he's going to find someone to throw it to. Maybe it's a check down. Maybe your best receiver shakes loose downfield. One way or another, if you give a guy enough time, he finds somewhere to throw the ball.
No doubt.
To me, the 32 guys that are starting quarterbacks have the toughest job in all of sports, in my estimation. So if you don't have a pass rush, you don't have one. If the Saints are willing to trade a second rounder next year to get a scat back in the second round, why aren't they willing to trade a second rounder in the first round and move up and get an impact defensive lineman? We've been hearing for 5 years now, we got to address the defensive line. This was supposed to be the year that the Saints, no matter what, address the defensive line. I'm not going to quibble with Ramczyk, and obviously the Ramczyk pick may come up really big now that their left tackle's out. But, is waiting until the end of the third round your answer on finding an impact pass rusher? I think not.
There is so much bitterness in your voice about Mickey Loomis and the Saints. I was just like, letting you go.
We're talking about GM, so I guess we need to talk about Loomis. I don't know. I think the Saints are improved. I think they can be 9-7 this year.
But you got to be pissed off as a Saints fan, Neil, because you have this elite quarterback who's not getting any younger.
And the sand's going out of the hourglass.
And he won you a championship, and he got you to the playoffs, and you didn't do your part as an organization. And if I'm a Saints fan, and I'm a Louisiana native, you and I have had this conversation, I want to be a Saints fan, but I feel guilty being a Saints fan, because when I was a kid and the Saints sucked, I never did anything to help. I never did my part. I was a Cubs fan. That was all the losing I could handle. And I never really developed an NFL fandom, if you will.
Sure.
And so I cheer for the Saints, but I feel guilty about getting on the bandwagon, so I don't. But man, if I was a hardcore Saints fan, it would be like, it must be what it feels like to be an Angels fan. You've got Mike Trout, and they surround him with just trash. It's got to frustrate you. If I'm a Saints fan, I'm angry. I'm so angry at the Bensons, at Loomis, for the fact that they've not built around Drew Brees and taken advantage of this window. A rebuild could wait.
Well, they've got an absentee owner who is probably getting towards the, you know, the he's in the late in the fourth quarter of life. And
yeah, I think if you asked him who's the president today, he'd say Truman.
He would struggle with it. And there's obviously a little bit of uncertainty around him. Meanwhile, the GM is trying to run two organizations, one that's not a football organization. You know, there's a lot of people kind of taking their eye off the ball right now. And all I ever read about is how, in March and April, is how the Saints really like a certain quarterback. They've got a great quarterback to like right now. If they could just find a way to pay him and maybe surround him with a few more spare pieces. But, you know, again, I do get passionate, Neil. Forgive me if that comes through. I lose all sense of impartiality when it comes to the Saints.
I like passion. We're gonna fight to the death over a quarterback. I mean, I'm assuming that there's passion there.
And Neil, I'll also say, as a guy who in the 70s, around week 7, week 8, when the Saints were mathematically eliminated, would usually skip to the Steelers. I can understand the, you know, what kind of jumping on and off the bandwagon. But with that said, I always have kept my Saints stuff, and I guess I always will. As someone who kind of works in the NFL and needs to follow all 32 teams equally, I sometimes lose sight of that. I do the best I can.
Yeah, it's okay to have a little fandom if you can be objective about it, I think.
I try. Yeah, I try.
Yeah, but there was anger there.
There's anger. Yeah, there's hurt. There's raw. It's a little raw. Yeah.
I understand.
Don't deny it.
I understand. All right, Teddy Bridgewater's back. What does that mean to the Vikings?
I mean, I'm not sure if he's all the way back yet, and I think to me there's a mental hurdle to clear. And even if Bridgewater's, you know, nominally got all the pieces back where they need to be, how long does it take him to where he really trusts that knee and really is able to be the guy that he was? And with that said, I don't think Teddy Bridgewater was yet in the top half of quarterbacks in the NFL. I think he was a solid quarterback, not a bad guy, but he doesn't, you know, I mean, I think there are certainly a lot of questions to answer. And with the quarterback already there from last year, I don't know that this is necessarily going to be the missing piece that takes the Vikings to the next level. I think there are still questions to answer regarding Bridgewater as well as maybe the rest of the team, and I think they fought valiantly last year, but this is not a team that I think is a lock playoff team. Not yet, anyway.
A real quick NFC North question. I know that the Lions extended an invitation to Calvin Johnson for training camp. You don't expect him to take it, do you?
I think there's too much bitterness there. And when money gets involved, then it always gets worse. And you may have seen something I haven't. Have they rectified the outstanding, the signing bonus issues and what have you?
I don't think so.
I don't have neither. So I don't think that's going to happen. I think Josh could definitely come back and be a contributing member of the team and probably step in and be definitely the top half of wide receivers, but it seems like he's kind of gone the Barry Sanders route.
Yeah, moved on with life.
He really has.
Le'Veon Bell, Pittsburgh, they'd like to extend him and all that. He's kind of gambling on himself. He's a running back. Hard to stay healthy in this league as a running back. Is he taking too big of a gamble on himself?
You know, the question is, what's the market going to be for him if he and the Steelers do part ways, and I don't expect them to? How many teams are going to put that kind of money into a guy who's on his second deal? I think he may be gambling a little bit too much. I salute him for it. I think that's pretty awesome that someone's willing to do that, but here's a guy who's had a little trouble staying on field with the drug issues, and with running backs, there's always a question. I think he's taking a big risk, if you ask me.
Yeah, you know, one of my favorite NBA players is Deion Waiters. And he, because I just, Deion Waiters has the mentality and personality that I would kill to have. You know what I mean? I would kill to I wish I looked in the mirror and saw what Deion Waiters sees when he looks in his mirror, because he looks in his mirror and goes, I'm the best damn looking man on the planet. Deion Waiters is the one guy that was on the court in an NBA Western Conference Finals game. He was on a court that included Russell Westbrook, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, Draymond Green, and Klay Thompson. And there is zero doubt in my mind that if you had injected him with truth serum and asked Deion Waiters, who's the best player on this floor right now? He would have said, me. And meant it. Not false confidence. Yeah. Absolute confidence. He gambled on himself last year in Miami. It paid off. He got a huge contract. Yet it's different. You can get hurt in basketball, but there are no linebackers hitting you in basketball.
Yeah. Yeah. Boy, if there's a lot of guys that probably somewhere around junior or senior in high school, they had to choose one or the other and chose football, and I bet they're wishing they could have that one back. Look at these contracts. It's insane.
The basketball contracts, yeah. The baseball contracts. The Bryce Harper deal that he's going to get in a year.
Yeah, but the basketball ones are what really – now, obviously, there's only 12 guys on a roster rather than 53, but still, wow. Wow. And they're not risking what NFL players are risking. I mean, I know we're kind of off topic here, but yeah. It's unbelievable.
And these are guaranteed deals.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, all you have to do to keep the money is keep a pulse.
Wild.
You just got to keep breathing, man. I mean, just breathe.
It's amazing what kind of impact the TV deals have made on the different leagues.
Yeah, and it's really going to be interesting when the TV bubble, if it pops, what it does to these contracts and what it does.
And I expect that it will.
Yeah.
I mean,
to some degree.
Look what we're seeing at ESPN.
Yeah. Well, that's such a bastion of journalism. Kirk Cousins says he wasn't given enough time to really dwell on this, to think about it, to mull it over. If I'm the Redskins, I'm starting to think he doesn't want to stay here. And he's my quarterback. Am I reading too much into that?
Does it make sense to you, Neil, because it doesn't to me, that Bruce Allen would take his case to the people and put numbers out there? And, I mean, to me, it looks like he's going into CYA mode on his starting quarterback. And I'm not taking sides here. I think to some degree there's a little bit of fault that lies with both sides. I think that they may be being a little more fair, perhaps, than they've been given credit for. But this move to put the stuff out there and make this a public deal, that's unforgivable. And if I'm Cousins, I'm starting to wonder, what am I doing here? Why?
Well, he is.
Why would they're taking? I mean, they're essentially going to war with their starting quarterback. That's
in July. And listen. Unlike the Gettleman thing, where that might not really impact the locker room because dudes in the locker room aren't talking about free agency. Right. And, I mean, I'm not talking about the front office. Guys in the locker room do talk about the quarterback.
Right.
This will impact the locker room. This will impact practices. This will impact games. This is impactful stuff. So this is our quarterback, but he's not here long term. So who's coming in? Because the truth about Kirk Cousins, as fairly average as he is, you tell me how many of the 32 NFL franchises, if given the opportunity, would replace their guy with Kirk Cousins?
Yeah.
15?
I would say.
So he's going to get a massive payday.
And we've got the developing story as well that, whether or not it's true, the Niners dearly want him and are essentially keeping the seat warm for him.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't see that. You don't very often see that in the NFL. So there's a market for him immediately. Now, do I want to go to the Niners? That is a franchise that's kind of a tailspin. But that aside, there seems to be an obvious market for him just waiting if the Redskins decide they want to go in a different direction. I mean, the other question you have to ask, Neil, excuse me, even if you've got a mediocre quarterback, do you want to start over with someone else and hope that the money that you're going to pay him, which is going to be about 20 or 30% of your cap, is going to be worth it? I mean, what happens if they're the wrong guy? And it's about 50-50 on whether the quarterback you draft the first round is the right guy. Don't you give your starting quarterback, who's shown some success and has shown some, you know, some real positives, give him the benefit of the doubt? It looks like the Redskins are ready to, you know, they're like, give us anybody else, we'll plug him in and we'll win.
And that's not the way the league works.
No way.
It's a quarterback league. I mean, sort of taking our conversation full circle, it's a quarterback league. Show me the team that wins a championship without a quarterback.
All the rules modifications have been in favor of quarterbacks. I mean, yeah, it's the golden era, and that there's a reason for that. I don't know. It's, again, it's really puzzling, really puzzling.
All right, I'm going to get you back on, assuming you're willing. End of next month, we'll do we'll do more of a on-field preview. So those picks that you make at the end of August will be the ones that I will hold you to, where if you're wrong, you'll be humiliated for the rest of your existence. So the question I'm about to ask, you're not held to these answers. But quickly, if you had to predict here today, as we tape this on July the 20th, you had to predict who is in Super Bowl, whatever, what is it, 52?
That sounds right.
Who is in Super Bowl 52 in early February? Who are the two teams in that game?
Raiders and Packers.
Wow. Raiders and Packers.
All right, so who you got?
I don't know. That's good.
Come on, man. You can't say I don't know.
I will say Patriots and I don't get held to this one. I get a chance to revise
neither
my
one of
picks
us do.
Too. I'll say Patriots and Green Bay, but I'll tell you the team that's on the tip of my tongue a little bit. Tampa.
Well,
and another team that kind of, for whatever reason, turns my head a little bit, the Giants. I like what they did in the offseason.
Okay.
I don't like their front, though, and that's why I can't pick them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, interesting. You know, maybe when we circle back in a month, maybe I will have changed my take on this as well. But I don't know.
Will the Raiders be impacted by the Vegas thing, or is it just is what it is?
I think they're too talented to be impacted by it too much. I think they've got a really good team, and if Derek Carr's healthy, I really like the direction they're going right now. I don't think it will impact them.
We got cheated when he got hurt last year.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much. We didn't get to see the real Raiders.
No, we didn't, because they had no chance at the end. And there was a point in November when they probably were the best team in the AFC.
I would agree.
All right, Neil, appreciate your time. I know you're busy. You got stuff to do. So thanks so much for your time here on this Thursday. And be thinking, because you're going to get your feet held to the fire, man, in August. I mean, we're gonna break down divisions, and you're going to make picks that you will either have to live with or suffer through for the rest of your life.
I will be ready.
Okay, my man. Be good.
You too. Bye-bye.
Our thanks to Neil Stratton for his time today on the Oxford Crystal Beer Garden. The Beer Garden is brought to you in part by LB's Meat Market, 2008 University Avenue in Oxford, 662-259-2999. It's right across from Kroger. We tell you about it all the time. Freshest cuts in Oxford. Freshest cuts you can find anywhere. They have the choice grade Hereford beef, grass-fed free-range beef from Joyce Farms. The Joyce Farms chicken breast, they'll pack those individually. They'll season them for you. Half or whole chickens available. They've got the locally raised pork from Home Place Pastures in Como. So much there. The sausages are fantastic. Whether you want a summer sausage or you want a sausage you can throw on the grill, they've got it. The spicy bacon, the flying pig, chicken jalapeno, chicken spinach feta, the Swayze sausage, so much more. They're at LB's. Again, 662-259-2999. And when you go in, right there on your left, there's a beer fridge. It's freshly stocked. Pick six of your choosing. And when you check out, tell the guys there at LB's that you heard about LB's on the Beer Garden, and that six-pack is just $6. It's a great deal from LB's Meat Market, 2008 University Avenue in Oxford. The podcast is also brought to you by Captain John Fryer and Tuna Chaser Charters in Biloxi. John handles inshore and offshore fishing expeditions from 4 to 12 hours. John knows where to put you on the fish that you want to catch. This time of the year, snapper and cobia are the most popular trips to take. The snapper season in Mississippi waters runs through Labor Day. Another popular trip for visitors that don't have as much time are the inshore trips for speckled trout and triple tail. You can reach John through his website, tunachasacharters.com, his Facebook page, or you can call John at 228-348-7817. Podcast also brought to you by Comer Heating and Air. Comer Heating and Air has been serving Oxford and the surrounding areas for the past 26 years. I've used Comer for AC repair. You can take my word for it. Their attention to detail, their customer service, and their work is second to none. Comer's an American Standard dealer, but they work on any maker model, residential or commercial. Customers get same-day service, free estimates on new units, and preventative maintenance contracts. Visit their website, comerheatingandair.com, or check out their Facebook page. Mention you heard about them on the podcast to get $20 off. Contact Eric at 662-934-3846 or Shane, 662-832-8749. The plan is to do another beer garden here in the next couple of days. John Hamm of the franchise in Oklahoma City will join us. We will talk NBA. Kyrie Irving wants out of Cleveland. Derrick Rose meeting with the Cavs. What's the latest with Paul George in Oklahoma City? What's the latest with Russell Westbrook's contract extension? Where will LeBron James go in a year? Lonzo Ball, his impressions of Lonzo in summer league there in Las Vegas. So a lot to get to with NBA. Also, perhaps bringing you a Major League Baseball beer garden later this week as the trade deadline gets closer. Some of the races get interesting. Clayton Kershaw goes down for the Dodgers. Steven Strasburg goes down for the Nationals. Does that change the landscape in the National League? We'll talk about those topics and more here on the Oxford Crystal Beer Garden. Until then, our thanks again to Neil Stratton, and our thanks to you for listening. Take care.